Welcome, everybody. My name is Kirk Tollenbach, and I am the people. Got in here a little bit late tonight. So I'll say hi to everybody live as opposed to typing in the chat room. Hey, listen, here's the thing is we just got home, my wife and I. We were on a couple of day hiatus, I'll say. It was our second anniversary. Well, that's our second anniversary as husband and wife, but we've been together 12 years now. So anyway, my wife decided that I should probably get out of town for a bit, because this stuff always seems to pile up on me real quick, and God knows she does enough just to keep us going here. But it's interesting. It's really interesting. Let's cover a couple of things about that trip before I forget. So we were up there, and Door County, Wisconsin is sort of one of those old fishing communities that has turned into, you know, a yuppie type place where, you know, there's a 25 coffee shops all with their own names, and everybody has their own brand and things like that. But it's still, I've been going up there since the 1960s, and it hasn't blown completely out of proportion. There are no McDonald's. There are none of those type stores. So these are all pretty much sole proprietors up there. A lot of artists and things like that. But it's real fun, and it's real comfortable for me. Anyway, we were going out to breakfast, and I have not actually picked up or read or even looked at a newspaper probably for the better part of a year and a half. And as we were walking into this really, really excellent restaurant called the Viking Grill, I saw a USA Today. Now, I looked at it, and I just want to, this was on the cover. It says, "Troops' morale in field plunges, but study hints of growing resilience." This is the front page. And the story goes on to talk about the morale of all these, the soldiers overseas. And it's pretty disgusting, not in the fact that the numbers show how, I don't know, discombobulated these guys are. They don't even know why they're there. And you know what? That's a good place to begin, is they don't know why they're there. Anyway, that was one. Troops' morale in field plunges, but study hints of growing resilience. Resilience. Yeah, that's what they need. Rather than know why they're over there killing for profit, rather than know and understand that, they just need more resilience. What they really need is to drug the guys even more than they already do. You know, drug them. They're, on the same page, it says, bike and scooter sales pick up speed. Alternatives to high gas prices. The first thing I thought of, as probably most of you did too, is China. Communist China, and watching the billions of people cycle around on their two-wheelers. Well, that's sort of what they're trying to do. They're trying to create a new third world type feel here in America, because they're destroying it. They've already destroyed the infrastructure. Now they're trying to make it look like bikes and scooters are a good thing. No, they're not a good thing, folks. You know what? They're just not a good thing. And the last thing I noticed here, and this is probably what really caught my attention, there was on one of the sidelines, it was talking about Seve Ballesteros, who died at 53, probably one of the greatest golfers that ever lived, one heck of a shot maker. Anyway, he was born in 1957, and he'd won, I don't know, four, five, six majors in the world of golf. The guy was amazing, but at 40 years old, he just couldn't play anymore, and at 53, he died of a brain tumor. So anyway, that's really what caught my interest. I just wanted to see that story, but it was funny that, you know, to watch this troops morale and things like that, and then the bike and scooter sales. But also it says, I mean, in the business section, well, for lack of a better term, it says employment gains could hit lull in next few months. Employment gains. It says April report shows more jobs added but higher jobless rate. This is the reason I don't buy any of this, the newspapers, is because it's all just a bunch of garbage. It's all misdirection and misleading and misinformation and basically propaganda to get people what to think. So anyway, that's I'll say that's old news because it is. We all know that the mass media is propaganda. So let's get out of that mess. I'm done with that. Let me get over to something else here. While we were up there, another thing that, you know, when you get to start to really understand what's going on, when you really, really know that the United States defeated America in the Civil War, when you really know it, when you can just spew it out at the what we call in an elevator speech, meaning that from the time you get in to the time you get out, whether it's three floors or 15, it doesn't matter. If you can hone, if you can create an elevator speech to not only capture somebody's attention, but to keep it and to keep them interested, that's what we used to call an elevator speech in the sales. Well, we were in a bookstore because it seems like they have their own gravitational pull for my wife and I. But we were in there, and last time we were in this particular bookstore, I told my wife I don't really want to go back in there because I didn't feel like the guy there had, you know, he wasn't really that service oriented. You know, I like people to recognize that there's a customer in there and maybe if they can help them or do whatever, but that's just me. Anyway, this time the guy was amazing, helped us with all kinds of stuff, and I thought, wow, my first impression was pretty far off base. Anyway, we got in there and we bought a few things. Maybe that's why his tune changed, but no, he was a very nice guy. His name was Peter. And he kind of opened the door. He was talking about different things, and the word conspiracy came up a couple of times in his conversation. To me, when somebody starts talking about that, and his perspective was that there is such a thing that there is a true conspiracy going on. Well, when I asked him, I said, listen, you used the word conspiracy a couple of times. I'd kind of like to know where you're coming from on that. And he gave me some ideas, and for about the next 8 or 9 minutes, I ripped into a very long elevator speech about 1861, 62, the whole bit. And I tell you what, this guy's eyes just lit up. And he was interested. I guess the point of this story is this. Learn this stuff. Learn it so when you have an opportunity, you're not force-feeding people, but when the door opens, the window opens, whatever, go through it. Know what you know. Speak as clearly and as quickly and as in control as you possibly can, because I tell you what, this guy, in 7, 8, 9 minutes, he had great questions and he was intrigued, and he worked in a bookstore, so I have a feeling he was going to start looking for some of this information. But that's how this kind of stuff grows. That's how the word of mouth, the best type of advertising, word of mouth, the most powerful form of advertising, word of mouth, that's how this kind of information actually spreads. When somebody's interested, walk through that door, you know, crawl through that window, whatever you want to do, and get this information into their hands, whatever you got to do, at least, you know it that well. And finally, about this trip, I don't want to bore everybody with our 2-day anniversary trip up north, but this is probably something that should alarm 100% of everybody listening right now. On our way back down Highway 42 and then Highway 43 along the Michigan coast there, back towards Rockford, something really interesting. I didn't notice it on the way up, but I noticed it on the way back. Many of the exit on-off ramps up past, I'll say, exit 100 heading north, or actually north of exit 100, I should say, almost all of these exits, both the exit off of Highway 42 or off of Highway 43, or the entrance ramp onto these highways, they all had those, like, Gestapo Stalag 17 type railroad crossing, big wooden arms that would come down and stop traffic. Red and, you know, the red and white striped ones. What I'm saying is that there are now in place in Wisconsin, automatic, arms that will keep traffic from entering or exiting the highway. I kid you not. They look, I mean, if there was a little gate, if there was a little, guard shack, it would look exactly like Stalag 17 or The Great Escape. You know what I'm talking about, where the guard actually has to physically go out and, you know, open and close the gate. These things are frightening because why exactly? I mean, I know there's all kinds of people out there saying, oh, you know what, they're working on the highways, they're going to do this or that. Here's the scary part. Okay, let's just assume that there's a reason for those up north further. What about down towards Milwaukee, where the same exits and entrance ramps have the barricades off to the side? I mean, actual barricades. They don't have the control arm, but they have the barricade set aside, and the barricades already have signs hanging on them saying ramp closed. What exactly is going on in Wisconsin that you know they need these ramps closed to the masses? That's it, all the way down through Milwaukee. If anybody has any ideas, I'd like to hear about that. I personally have my theories, but Ralph, you out there?
Yeah, I am. I was just thinking, you know, I was just thinking about that. You guys have a lot of snow up there in the wintertime, don't you?
Nice try, Ralph. Nice try. So for the last 150 years in Wisconsin, they didn't need those kinds of gates. They didn't need... Only now when we live in a true police state do they need those kinds
Well, here's the thing that I'd say about that. There has been a lot of federal money that has been put into a lot of states for highways and stuff out of these trust funds. And I know, for example, here in the Phoenix area, very recently in the last year or so, they put up all of these interchange controls where there are actually metering signals on every on-ramp and every off-ramp. And you gotta go watch the red light go red, green as they clutter up traffic and make it slower than it was before. But the thing that's interesting about that is I was thinking about the snow fences. If those are, and what I wasn't clear from our conversation earlier is if you were talking about rural areas or whether it's, more urban where these things are. But it could just... be something as simple as that.
Well, again, I laud your effort, but there's just something creepy about seeing these giant. I mean, you can see them from a mile away. They're you know, the arms are straight up, and all I can think of is, you know, anytime somebody decides to flick a switch and all these arms go down, they control these highways. I see. I was told recently and in the last few weeks by my wife that she knows somebody that actually knows somebody that works for the Illinois Tollway, and the cement barricades that they have all along the highway in and out of Chicago, the tollway, one of the tollway workers told their friend that, and this is not, you know, 50 times removed, this is like somebody my wife knows somebody, or is related to somebody that works for the tollway. They said that they could shut down Chicago in 20 minutes with these cement barricades.
Oh, that's true. It's called K-Wall. We use it around the racetrack all, and you see it in barriers and highway construction zones. They put it out at strategic locations, and you bet they can close off a road real fast.
Well, again, now what I found interesting is that these long stretches between these on-off ramps, and these are rural areas. To answer your question, once you get up a little bit north of Milwaukee, it's pretty rural. I mean, it's just farm community. But to have these gates, I mean, you know, these 30-foot wooden or steel gates that are powered by the sun. So that, and ultimately all they got to do is flick a switch and shut down whatever highways or whatever on and off ramps they want. I hate to say it, and I know this, you know, this sounds like the sky is falling type stuff, but there are no, you know, there was no highway construction. These things were finished. It's done. You know, they're there for some reason, and I'd always ask, you know, if I was the guy installing these kinds of things, or, you know, the guy that's putting the razor wire on the fencing outside of some building that I don't quite understand, I would always be asking myself, exactly who am I working for, and exactly who is signing these paychecks? You know, I'm all happy about my new car and my new big screen TV, but what side am I actually on? Am I on the side of freedom, or am I on the side of stupidity or ignorance?
Well, the key,
you know, that's a tough. Go ahead.
The key word is that you would ask, but everybody knows that you and everybody else associated with this network and all of our listeners, we're all radical extremist conspiracy theorists. So, you know, we're supposed to ask. If not us, whom? You know, if we don't ask how many times Bin Laden was killed and when was the first time, who's going to do it? Somebody's got to do it. By the way, that's I have a great elevator speech thing that I've done on for a number of people, and that is they're all talking about this Bin Laden thing and heightened security. And I said, yeah, well, I want to know why why they're saying that he was killed now. He's been dead for 10 years. And what's amazing is that just generally stops conversation dead in its tracks.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know. I mean, is it really possible he's been dead that long? Yeah. Anyway, sorry, that was rhetorical.
That's about like my gates being up because of snow, right?
Yeah. Let's shut down the highways here. You know, it's pretty scary, but. There's a lot of things that you start when you really, really wake up to what's going on. I mean, even though it's sort of like, you know, when you buy a bright yellow Volkswagen Bug, you start seeing them all over the place. You may not have ever noticed them before, and maybe a lot of people don't notice them now. But when you own one or when you're aware of them, they're everywhere. It's the same thing here. It's the same principle. When you start seeing things, the flags start going up all over, like, well, why is that there? I mean, what could they possibly need that for? What are all these things here for? Why all the new super thick cable in, you know, that's buried in cement along the highways to separate these highways now? I mean, what's all that for tens and 20 and 30 miles at a stretch? You know, I mean, is it more, to me, it seems to be more dangerous to run into one of those cable, you know, the cement, those cement anchored cables than it would be to drive into the grass. But, you know, that's just the way I think. You know, if for some reason it seems like they're trying to keep the traffic flow in whatever direction it is they want it to flow in.
Yeah, that's a good one because, quite frankly, we went through that in Arizona, too. They were talking about divided highways, and they had a lot of problems with people fall asleep, drive across the median, and, you know, have head-ons in the other side. So they talked about putting all kinds of barriers out there, and finally here in Arizona we decided to do those cable barriers you describe in the media, and the reason for it was that the state didn't have the money, and this does make a lot of sense, the state didn't have the money to make these to make these concrete permanent barriers. And believe it or not, they actually have built into the budget that when somebody collides with one of these things, they take the cable out, stretch it. They have built in a maintenance budget that actually predicts how many times the barrier is going to be damaged during the year, and they just budget for the repair. But the thing that struck me that gave it credibility was, yes, indeed, they don't have the money to put up these concrete barriers, and it seems like a fairly reasonable solution to the problem. So,
so wait a minute here. Are you on tonight as the devil's advocate?
You know, we get to a bigger point though. And you may be leading there, and I'll just say it. But do you remember there was a time where you and I, and I speak to the listeners out there, we wouldn't have even questioned this stuff, and we wouldn't have worried about it? Now, you can't trust anything. Now, everything that you see is worth a question. Your first order of, your first order of priority, instead of looking at, you know, what this is from a practical and commercial and safety and governmental standpoint, is what are they planning to do with, to us with that? You know, why is that there? And that's kind of the bigger issue.
That is the problem.
That's our default now. Our default.
It is now.
Yeah, our default has gone to, for those of you awake and you see this stuff all the way around, your entire perspective has shifted. And you have gone from taking things for granted to questioning why and what's the purpose. And ultimately what has happened is the trust and confidence in your government and the powers that be to act in your best interest long haul has been severely eroded. And I think that's the bigger issue here. It does. It makes us go over the top sometimes with the things that we're concerned about. And this is a little bit why I'm kind of playing the devil's advocate a bit here. But the reality is, we don't know why those fences are up. We don't know why those gates are up there. We don't know why there are some of the things that we see. But what we do know is that every step that seems to be taken in this day and age is designed to further constrict and restrict and reduce our liberties and freedoms in this country. That's all you need to know. Whether they don't want us to have the, to have the freedom to go across the median and have a head on with somebody on the other side, that could be very practical and it could make perfect sense. But what do you see? You see restraint. And the mind, we take off with this stuff because, quite frankly, you know, some of us know history and know what happened in Germany in the 1930s.
Well, that's kind of what's scary about this stuff is, you know, I'm thinking 25 years ago, 50 years ago, it doesn't matter. You know, you're driving down the highway at highway speeds and if you drive into, you know, these medians are, the ones I'm talking about are, there's a big grassy area between them. I mean hundreds of yards. And here's what's scary to me is that, you know, I think if I were to drive off into the center of that, and I had fallen asleep, number one, you know, going over those real rough bumps on the way off the highway may have woke me up. Or even just, maybe I would have awakened out in the grass, if you know what I mean. But when you hit one of these, you know, cement anchored cable barriers, there's no doubt you're going to have an accident. You are going to have an accident. I mean, whether it flips the car, whether it tangles you up, it doesn't matter. Whether you bounce off and come back up into traffic and take out a bunch of people up there, you will have an accident. So, I mean, they can try to sell me on safety, but I think they're even more unsafe. And the other thing is, you know, let's look at the real numbers and see how many people actually do cross the median and come across that much distance and cause these kinds of accidents. I hate to say it, but you know, the numbers, I would venture a guess that the numbers do not coincide with their version of reality. And, you know, that's the thing is people just are being sold a bill of goods. The guys that want the overtime to go out there and put these things in, they're more than happy to do it. And sadly, again, it's back to us participating in our own demise. And just because we want something from that equation, whether it's the overtime or the safety, you know, but we're too... You know, we're too lazy to basically look into it and find out the truth for ourselves. Again, back to us. The ball's always in our court. Anyway, on that note, I think, we're about due for a break right about now?
Yeah,
yeah,
we are.
Let's take the first one right now and come back in a few minutes.
You got it. You're listening to I Am the People with Kurt Kallenbach here on the Liberty and Freedom Radio Network. This is Tuesday, May 10th, 2011. Stay with us. We'll be back.
1-800-321-2900 or visit their website at survivalcenter.com. With over 35 years of knowledge and experience, the Survival Center is America's premier preparedness center.
Fathers gave us their lives. His sons and daughters carried on with pride. Our fight for liberty and freedom has no end. It's with our lives that we defend. 'Cause this is America, where freedom found its home. In our hearts and minds, and we'll never let it go. We stand up in America, stand tall for all that we believe in. Long live freedom in America. To worship, our right to speak, our right to vote, our right to be free, the right of every child to dream and to believe. No one can take these rights from me. Freedom found its home. In our hearts and minds, they will never let it go. We stand up in America, stand tall for all that we believe in. Long live freedom in America. Fathers can still be heard tonight. In the voices of all who cry out, cry out for what's right. This is America, the place where freedom found its home.
Hey, listen, by the way, we're trying to work in into the show weekly now, the second half, the second hour, to have some folks call in. I really like that. I like having people call in because I would prefer to hear that side. I mean, we don't get a chance to hear the folks on the other side of this very often, unless, like I said, unless it's in the bookstore or places like that. But I mean, I know that there's an awful lot of what would we call choir members, but I'd like to hear some folks, some voices out there, so it's not just me or Ralph, because you know what, we need to hear from you. But anyway, let's get a couple things out of the way here again on this side. I received a PDF from somebody. I don't recall who, and if you're listening, I apologize, but this PDF was a real eye-opener even for me when it comes to the Civil War and Abraham Lincoln and things like that. I'd be willing to pass this thing out. I had it printed out front back. It's about 300 pages. For me to have it bound, it did cost about $30, but I'd be willing to send this PDF to everybody. But it's called The Book of the Hundreds, and it has some religious aspect to it, and again, I don't like to go down any of those paths, because how you feel about the world is up to you, but The Book of the Hundreds is one of the best, I don't know, one of the best Civil War primers, I would call it, that I've ever seen, and it has some hardcore, extremely ugly information in it about Abraham Lincoln and the fact that many of those in Congress, I know I sort of bitch and moan about Congress changing the word person in 1862 or the word state in 1864 and doing all that stuff they did, all that unlawful stuff throughout the entire Civil War and after that as well. Well, what's interesting is when you read this, the Book of the Hundreds, you realize that there's a lot of guys that were in Congress, mainly the southern states, but there were a lot of folks in Congress that were making decisions at the tip of a bayonet. See, the United States, ever since the Civil War, America has been basically a prisoner on its own soil. The American people are prisoners because the United States defeated America in the Civil War, and the bankers, they took over way back then. We're starting to feel the effects of it now, even though we've been feeling the effects of it since then. But now the bankers have decided they're just going to take all their stuff, all what they are owed, and they're going to just close up shop here in America. So it is a tough read. It's tough because when you're reading it, you don't want to believe a single thing, but it's all, everything's there. It's all backed up by fact. You can actually look up everything there. I have the PDF. I don't like reading things on the computer, so I had it printed out. But yeah, anybody that wants this, in fact, I'd be willing to if Ralph would put it up, even at the website, it's probably one of the best. I'd let him look at it first before he makes a decision like that, but and I will send it to anybody, but I recommend it to everybody that wants to know the truth about the Civil War, about United States defeating America and all that stuff. It is very difficult to read because you just don't want to believe this kind of stuff actually took place. So I know that the southern states were acting. I know that they didn't want to do what they were doing, and I know there was a lot of unlawful activity, but to actually read it, from the guys that were there. I mean, there were guys that disappeared. There were congressmen that were murdered. I mean, there was so much stuff that went on back then that we don't know about because we forgot. Plus, of course, the victors always write history. So, but to have this stuff surface and have people out there that know this information, this is the kind of stuff that will change the equation. I don't know how much time we have here, but we need as much information, as much factual information out there as possible. So, anybody that wants the Book of the Hundreds, the PDF, like I said, I'd be more than happy to send it out. It sometimes takes me a while to get things out. Ask Ralph.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on a few things, but yeah, go ahead and send that down, and I'll put a page up or put a link up to it here.
Okay, and then one last thing before maybe Ralph and I have a conversation tonight is let me get through my invitation for those of you that don't. Actually are not on the list. I like to cover this nowadays too because I think it's important that people know how what it is I'm thinking about from week to week. Not that my thoughts are important, but you know, just because I there's so much out there that you can get lost in it. So here's what I wrote as my invitation for the week. It says, "Dear friends and enemies, I thought rather than beat the same dead horse or call everybody across America ignorant, this week's invite should be simple and straight to the point. So I came up with just a few questions for each of you to research after tonight's show. Question one was, ever wonder what the so-called Patriot Act has done for the real terrorists in America?" And, of course, it has a hyperlink that says press here. That hyperlink, by the way, takes you to a website that shows all the police brutality that's going on across America right now. See, I consider the police force, the police department, because I know that the police departments are under the jurisdiction and subject to the United States, you know, the victor of the Civil War, that all the police departments across America now are sort of being forced into becoming the super bad guys out there enforcing public policy. Now, it's kind of funny because public policy only should be enforced within the District of Columbia because that's where legislative public policy is supposed to apply. But it doesn't. Why doesn't public policy apply just in the District of Columbia? Because U.S. citizens are residents of the District of Columbia, and whatever applies to the 10-mile square known as the District of Columbia applies to all U.S. citizens, regardless of where they live. Okay, so anyway, the first question was, ever wonder what the so-called Patriot Act has done for the real terrorists in America? Those real terrorists, to me, are the police departments and police forces across America. And what the Patriot Act has done has freed them up to be able to brutalize and just beat down U.S. citizens. That's what the Patriot Act has done for America. Okay, question number two. Ever wonder who the executive, Department of Justice, and every attorney general across America works for? There is a hyperlink that says press here. What it does is that link takes you to the Illinois Attorney General website, and if you read that carefully, you will see who the President of the United States, the Department of Justice, and every Attorney General across America works for. Now, if there's any attorneys listening to this, you're obviously going to come up with some idea that, you know, the verbiage in there doesn't mean what it says. Let me say that again. The verbiage in there doesn't mean what it says. My argument is, if it didn't mean what it says, then maybe they should have wrote other words. Anyway, ever wonder who the executive, the Department of Justice, and every Attorney General across America works for? Read that article. It is at the Illinois Attorney General website right now. That is the hyperlink. Again, question number three was, ever wonder where the Nazi elite lived when they were brought here by the United States after World War II? There's a very interesting article there. I mean, actually, there's a whole website on this, but it is basically a lot of information about Laurel Canyon out in California. Laurel Canyon had some really interesting, it has a really interesting past. There's some huge mansions out there that, the history behind them is pretty obvious when you start reading this, but there were Nazis brought into America. I mean, they were basically red carpeted. They were brought in here to do whatever the United States wanted them to do. Again, not American. The American people would have been furious if they would have known what the United States was doing. See, that's what's interesting to me is the American people are normal, hardworking, everyday men and women like you, me, Ralph, you know, everybody else out there. It is the United States, the elites. It's the people that are working for the Crown Temple. It's the people working for the Bank of England, the elites. Who are those? They're the ones that the statement, we the people, actually applies to. I know none of the patriots out there want to believe that stuff, but we the people means the elites, the ones that are working for the Crown Temple. That's who we the people are. Anyway, read that article. It's the Laurel Canyon stuff is absolutely amazing. You probably will be stuck in there for weeks digging around in that information because there's so much of it. The next question I put up was, ever wonder if the world's elite and Bank of England really have a global eugenics program in place? There's another press here. Hyperlink. That hyperlink takes you to one of my favorite blog spots called The Vatic Project, And there's an article there and lots of evidence, lots of proof. The article's called Billionaires for Eugenics, and it has, you know, all the information about all the folks that are actively pursuing such programs as the eugenics, the worldwide eugenics programs, things like that. Again, everything here is factual. That's why it's hard. I mean, there's so many different directions you can take this kind of information, but that's why I want people to start opening up their brains, opening up their minds to the possibility that maybe, just maybe, the things that you're looking at aren't as real as you believe they are. You know, maybe, when Citibank advertises all the stuff that you see on the television, but then turns around and does something really amazingly ugly or awful on a world scale, maybe you should start thinking that Citibank isn't who you think they are. They're not just this credit card company or things like that. They are actually the global elite, or another arm of the Bank of England, or something. You just need to start thinking a little bit differently. Think outside the box. I mean, that's ultimately all I ask. And the last question I put out tonight was, ever wonder what long-range plans the world elite and the Bank of England have for America? That article is pretty interesting all by itself. Again, there's a hyperlink that takes you to Henry Macau. And that article is the title of it is, in 1969, Rockefeller officials said U.S. would be deindustrialized. And when you read through that article, you're thinking, wait a minute here, in 1969 all this information was put out there? Yeah. You see, the world's elite, those that control the United States, established 1871, the world's elite have a plan. And whether we want to believe it or not, it doesn't have anything to do with our belief systems. It has to do with the facts. They've been doing things in a certain way, just marching along, or goose-stepping along, however you want to look at it, but they've been marching along on a very specific path. Even in 1989, you had Bush Sr. say something about the New World Order, and that really creepy voice of his when he says, you know, the New World Order will come into effect, or they will, you know, institute the New World Order. And of course, he says it like, and we will, yeah, they will. And the whole Bush family, all those creeps, look into this stuff, folks. Again, the articles, I'd be more than happy to send, you know, this link, or if you'd like to get on my invitation list, just let me know and I'll send, because every once in a while something will come out that might be of interest to you. So, and finally, I closed with this, and this is the only offensive thing that I probably did tonight so far. And it's at the very bottom of it, it says, for the rest of you sheeple, this is the new and improved United States. Rock on. Because, see, most folks, sadly, are not interested in the truth. They would rather just go out there and pretend it isn't what it is, and fight for their own demise and enslavement and things like that. Here's what's interesting. Here's on a good note with all that stuff. I did have kind of a little shining bright light. I had a call while we were up there. I don't answer the phone, but this was a call to my wife's phone from a friend of hers, and a friend of hers, nieces and nephews are now starting to look at, I mean, you're talking about high school kids and you know, that age. They're starting to ask questions about 9/11 and things like that. And it's interesting because I don't really want to talk too much about 9/11. I'm not really interested in it anymore because I already know who did it. I mean, everything is so obvious at some point that you got to quit worrying about it. I mean, the 9/11 truthers, so-called, you know, they're probably doing a real service by staying on top of that stuff, but ultimately it's just to keep us busy. So to me, when you realize that that was an inside job, and you realize that the planes were on a stand-down type position, and or you know, the military was never, ever activated, there's too many coincidences involved in that situation. Sorry, but the facts are the facts, and you know, those controlling the United States, look at all the people that made billions of dollars on the destruction of those buildings, or shorting shorting certain options and things like that. Look at all the people that made money knowing in advance what was going to take place. I'm sorry, but the evidence is overwhelming that it was an inside job. Anyway, these young people are starting to stand up and say, listen, even though our parents aren't interested in this, we are. And I thought, wow, that is a wonderful thing where the kids, and you know, here's the problem, it is the youth. It's the youth that if they woke up and denied what it is that even many adults refuse to deny, which is, refuse to acknowledge, which is the truth, if the young people would wake up and say, man, my life is worth more than this crap that I'm about to experience. If the young people woke up and said, you know what, I don't care what my parents think about this. You know, they're waving the flag around and they're all patriotic. You know what? I was at a, boy, this is not going to go over well, but I was at a track meet with my wife before we left this weekend. My son is running track. And I got to tell you, last year we were up there and they brought a gold fringe flag out onto the middle of the football field and everybody stood up and put their hand on their heart and said the Pledge of Allegiance and then sang to this gold fringe flag, and I just cringed. I turned my back. Well, this time I'm up there sitting in the stands with my wife, and everybody please stand and take off your hats and do whatever. And I can't do it anymore. You know what? I know what the United States represents. I know what the situation is. So out of all the people in those stands, my wife and I are sitting down, and you know, all I did was straighten my hat. I didn't even look up. I'm sickened by what I know. So, no, I'm sorry. I'm not interested in participating in this crap anymore. My wife is not either. We don't feel bad about it. This is not about patriotism or whatever. I'm scared for the first time in my life that the people that consider themselves patriots are going to be the ones turning in their neighbors when the day comes. They're going to be the ones, you know, because they're going to buy into the whole the terrorist situation, that the American people are the terrorists. Sorry, folks. Everything is bass backwards right now, and sadly, I'm not going to buy into any of it. I'm not standing up for the Star Spangled Banner or any other song that they're trying to keep us marching lockstep down their course. Nope, it's over with for me and my wife and anybody else that really starts to get this stuff. Like you said, you start reading the Book of the Hundreds, you start reading the factual stuff, and you will be, your stomach will turn so quick, and you also will be seated during the Star Spangled Banner and all that other propaganda garbage. So anyway, that's not going to go over real well. anyway, so the young people need to start thinking for themselves. They need to break away from all the non-thinkers, and maybe we can change this thing, turn this thing around before it's too late, but, you know, it's pretty scary out there right now. Really, really scary. Okay, I'm done with that. Ralph, you out there?
Of course.
You know, I'm going to ask you a personal question, because I listen to you, I respect you an awful lot, but What is it? I mean, when I was talking about staying seated and just straightening out my hat, my wife and I during this, how did you feel about that? I mean, really, because you can't offend me, so.
I understand your point of view. The tragedy is that most of the people in the stands around you don't and wouldn't. And in the absence of the understanding, the interpretation, you know, the mind hates a vacuum, and in the absence of a rational explanation, trust you will fill the void with your own conclusions. Somewhere along the line, and I think it was an earlier show that you did some time back, and this school, I think, has trotted out this gold fringed flag before, because yep. I think I remember you talking about it.
Yeah,
I remember my reaction at the point in time that it's infiltrated the courts, it's infiltrated the government, it's infiltrated our sports events, it sort of fits the indoctrination part of it, but here's the tragedy in my mind. I would be willing to bet you that whoever was responsible for purchasing those flags at that school simply went to a little flag, catalog and found something. And, oh, this is kind of pretty with that little gold, with that little gold fringe on it. And probably ordered it and in their ignorance didn't know what they were ordering, even if the catalog made the distinction. That to me is the bigger issue here. That's what frightens me. This is the pernicious creep of this corporatocracy into every mom and apple pie part of America to the point where we know not to sit down, if you get my drift. Ironically, we should stand up and say no.
Well, here's the thing. I welcome any challenge to anybody saying, how come you're not standing? You know what? But even that, they can think, the masses can think anything they want. In fact, I've gone round and round on this with a lot of folks. And to me, it's that old saying where, evil will prevail when a good man basically says or does nothing. I will welcome any challenge to my sitting down, but I cannot, even pretend to go along with the fraud of standing to, here's the thing. Nobody I know, I mean this completely, nobody I know actually understands what happened in the Civil War. Nobody I know personally, that I see on a face-to-face basis ultimately knows that, because they haven't read it. They haven't seen it for themselves. They might have listened to me. They might have seen it, over and over on the Sundays when I'm out teaching this stuff, but they haven't read it for themselves. They haven't dug down and found that information for themselves. So until you do that, until it gets inside you and becomes part of you, it's hard to act. I mean, you can accept it because you trust somebody saying it, but it's different when it's coming from you. And see, I see this stuff. I know this stuff. And sadly, the American court system is not an American court system. It's a military tribunal, and it has been a military tribunal since the Civil War. It's admiralty law, regardless what anybody else says, it grabs you, and it's commercial, corporate law once you're in there. So, see, there is no rule of law. The Constitution is truly 100% irrelevant, and for me to stand and pretend that I have any flag wavingness left inside me, that would be a criminal, because that would be advocating something I know is criminal. And that's the problem. Is I would be better to leave the stands and go get a hot dog or go pee during that than to sit there and look the part. But that would be wise in the future. But ultimately, I want somebody to ask me, why are you sitting? Why are you seated during this really important situation, this opening act, so to speak? And then, then I would give them my short or long version of the elevator speech. And if they have any interest after that, that's fine. But, it's just, when you know too much, you can't even fake it.
Yeah, you got to pick your venues and you got to pick your opportunities. And, the thing is that, as we say, and it's because what you and I wish is that we could propagate that to 300 other million people in this country. If you could imagine yourself being emperor for the day, what would you, what would you most want to see? Well, none of the changes that one could make would be of significance. So what I would want to
I put on some clothes first.
Well, okay, fine.
Because this emperor really doesn't have any clothes on.
Well, the whole assumption here is that I would want to unfloridate people's minds. I would want them to get to think a little bit, and I'd want to give them the body of information that, that we have been privileged to research and kind of dwell in our own. And, whether it's true or not, the thing you do have to realize is that the opening of the mind and the looking at the possibilities, from that, all the future hinges. These people that don't give it a thought, these people who, have no idea that there is even an issue, with the gold fringe flag have a lot farther to go, and their lives are a reflection of that. You know, that's the painful part of this. As I said, this stuff has coercively slipped into every element of our daily lives. You know, pretty soon we're subsumed by this cancer, if you will, and that's part of the process. Remember, they've been working on this for 100 years. And on that note,
you know, yeah, let's get out of here, but I just want to call attention to one thing, and it really dawned on me when I was sitting in the stands, seated in the stands. The 1968 Olympics, when Tommy C. Smith and who else was it that had the black armbands with their heads down? You know what? That angered me for many, many decades.
Mm-hmm.
as a runner, as a track man. And now I get it. I know what it was that they were saying back then. It finally dawned on me because I researched what it was they were arguing about. And you know what? That's their version. That's all they could do at the time. And I commend them for what they did back then in 1968. So, okay, yeah, take us out of here.
All right. You're listening to I Am the People with Kurt Kallenbach on Liberty and Freedom Radio Network. We'll be back. Stay with us. And we'll open the phones in the second hour.
Are you prepared for an emergency? Need expert advice? Contact the Survival Center at 1-800-321-2900 or visit their website at survivalcenter.com. With over 35 years of knowledge and experience, the Survival Center is America's premier preparedness center.
It came along. Everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, "You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything." Now we might have been better off far on the bigger house if Daddy'd done more giving in or a little more backing down. But we always had plenty just to live in his advice. Whatever you do today, you'll have to sleep with the night. He'd say, "You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything." I know that things are different than they were in Daddy's day, but I still believe what makes a man really has a chance. You've got to stand for something or you'll for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right promises? Are you bound for
about the 68 Olympics. I was starting back in 1973-74. I mean, I always loved watching track, the Olympics, and all that stuff. But I was too young actually to remember the 68 Olympics. I don't believe I actually saw them live, but I've seen them 100 times since then. And I believe it was Jimmy Hines and Tommy C. Smith that had black gloves or black armbands on. And they put their hands, their fists up in a black power sign, you know, and with their heads down at the awards while they were standing on the awards podium. I believe it was they took first and second or first and third. So, and they ran, like, I believe they ran world records. The winning time was a world record. Tommy C. Smith may have broke the world record that day. So here's the thing is these amazing athletes. And back then, they were not professional yet. The Olympians were not professionals yet. But these two black guys, and if you get an opportunity, there's a couple of very good biographies, I mean actual video biographies of these guys and what they went through because of their stance at the 68 Olympics. I'm not sure, but I think they tried to take their medals away and things like that. You know, I've looked into that since, and especially since I've learned all this stuff, and I'm more proud of the guys that are standing up for the truth. And I know there should not be politics in sport. I don't believe there should be politics in sport, and maybe that's the only issue I would raise with these guys. But what if everywhere? I mean, in the 1980 Olympics, you had politics in sport. You had the politicians threatening not to participate in the 1980 Olympics and all this stuff. So the politicians are the ones that do this stuff. They're the ones that set the stage for all this garbage. In fact, they set the stage for all the garbage that's happening on the planet. You know, that leads me into one thing that is so ugly. It's the folks in D.C. that make the decisions. Well, I'm just pretending they do because that's what everybody out there seems to think. That the guys that are rubber stamping all this policy and then allowing all the 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23 year olds to die overseas for their policy, for their profits. You know, I know you've heard this before, but I really think that whoever decides on this, they should send their children directly over there, and they should accompany their family. If you stamp something saying that, yeah, this is the policy we're going to have, and Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter. Pakistan, you know, if they're participating, if they vote yes, you know, go bomb, murder, rape, pillage. If they vote yes on any of this stuff and send troops over there, I think their family should be there first. I think everybody involved with that, I think all the elite, I think all the folks involved in politics, involved in the whole political process. In fact, I even think that the people that vote, if you want to participate, if you want to believe you're participating in this, if you want to vote in that private system, if you want to agree with what's going on in the private legislative democracy, I think you should be over there fighting too. You should be over there participating in the death, the destruction, and everything else that these people represent. That's all they are. And until people get their heads out of their butts and realize that everything that's going on overseas is for profit, and it's not about politics, it's about profits, and that these people that you think you vote for every 4 years, 2 years, 6 years, it doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter who you vote for. If you're participating in this stuff, you know what? You should be over there fighting. Instead of the guys that don't know what they're fighting for, that don't know they're fighting, that they're actually ultimately fighting for profits and things like that, you should be over there. You guys that vote for the system, that participate in this unconstitutional legislative democracy, everybody that participates in it should be over there fighting. The people that don't believe in it, that know the facts, that know the truth, they should be safe at home with their families. Everybody else that wants the murder machine to move forward across the entire globe, you guys should be over there fighting for your belief system, which is for profit for the United States, the Bank of England, the Crown Temple, and ultimately the Vatican. You people should be over there in the Mideast, you know, and you should also have blood on your hands, on your sleeves, on your clothing. You should be the ones that are ultimately responsible for everything that's going on over there, because you believe this is a legitimate system, and I don't. And you know what? I wish more people knew what I knew, because then maybe they wouldn't participate in this giant, giant lie. Did I hear a phone? Somebody call in?
Yeah, we have a caller. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, hi, it's Freddie from Sacramento, California.
Hi, Freddie.
Hi. I just wanted to mention something that's kind of a little bit close to the subject. When I was an announcer in Sacramento here, I always used to really like to watch Cash and Clay. He was a boxer, a Negro boxer, very good boxer. And he changed his name to Muhammad Ali. So I didn't think anything about it. And then Sammy Cooke, great singer, great actor, changed his name into Muslim. And I didn't really understand why. So I did a little research, and as far as I'm concerned, I really don't understand what was going down there in that time. This was in the late 60s, early 70s. And so I thought I'd just bring that up. It probably doesn't have any relevancy into the conversation, but I thought I'd bring that up. I don't know why certain folks, United States citizens and a boxer and actor, changed to become Muslim. I'm not putting Muslim down. I'm just saying that I don't know why they change. That's all I have to say, really.
Thanks, Freddie. You know what? It's funny because I know what you're talking about. The Nation of Islam that basically back in the 60s, especially for the Black Power movement,
yes.
You had Malcolm X pop out. I mean, he was killed in what, 1963 or 65?
Exactly. I think it was 63.
But it was actually a Black Power movement, and it was taken over. But you're not a black man.
No, I'm a white dude.
Okay, I'm a white dude too. So here's the thing. Here's the thing is that we don't really truly understand a lot of what's gone on in the black community. The politicians have destroyed that community. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, there's a lot of participation that goes along with it. But then again, look at the participation with the white community believing all this black community garbage too. So everybody's guilty of all, following the rhetoric, following the propaganda machine, following everything that they're told without thinking for themselves. I know the black community was destroyed. They've never been free. The white people have never been free either. Since 1868, this whole situation is upside down. But yeah, I think that with Malcolm X, and then the Nation of Islam, and also Farrakhan came out of there after Malcolm X was murdered.
But see, now we are infidels, and that's not good. I mean, we're infidels, period. No matter what our color is, we go to a Christian church, or we go anywhere, a Jewish synagogue, we're now considered infidels. And that bothers me very much, and I do not understand it.
Well, there has to be, remember, everything is divide and conquer. If you really look at this, I mean, why in the world did the powers that be place a man whose original birth name, flesh and blood name, probably Barry Satoru, why would they place a man that took on the new corporate name of Barack Hussein Obama, why would they take that guy and place him at the top of this one-eyed pyramid called the United States? Why would they do that unless they were trying to divide the country, divide the masses, divide the Christians?
That could be the Illuminati, and it could also be part of the plan that I always believe in, that it's going to be unbelievable in this president that we have what he's doing to our nation, our Constitution, and our patriots, and me.
I wish more people use the word me.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean any problem with it.
No, I mean it. I wish more people actually understood and defended themselves instead of just following blindly the guy next to him or the gal next to him or whatever, or, you know, without doing their own homework. Me is not such a bad place to be. You know, if you really, really believed that your life, you sound like a Christian man.
I am.
Okay, but I mean, if you really believe that your life was a gift from God, if you really believe that, then you should be willing to learn of the truth and defend that gift. Where I don't think that most people feel like their lives are a gift. You know, they'd rather just stand there with their hands out, waiting for the United States to benefit them daily via some new program out there to take care of them from cradle to grave. That is not somebody that actually lifts up their life or actually believes their life is a gift from God. I'm sorry, but, you know, if people believed that, then the word me actually would mean something. They'd go, you know what, it's not a what's in it for me. It really is, you know, I am worthy. This gift is, I'm worth my own effort. I'm worth my own thought. I'm worth my own defense. I'm worth everything, because if I'm not, then it's an affront to my creator, you know.
My friends, and we're ex-vets, we all knew that. And we fought for our country, and we just knew that that's the way we stick together, and we try to vote the best we can. We email things that are pretty far out in a way, almost to a militia type. But that's probably where I'm coming from.
You know, Freddie, one thing that came up was that I'm told, and I couldn't remember specifically, but I'm told that Sammy Davis converted and became a Jew, not a Muslim.
Oh, I'll stand corrected. You are correct. Excuse me.
Yeah, I couldn't remember specifically, and Hummingbird was kind enough
either.
To jog my memory on that. So, but yes, he did. Now that I think back on it, but you do raise an interesting question, and that's actually something that there's somebody in our radio network that I might be inclined to pose that question to, and that's something we'll look into, because I don't know the answer to it either.
No, I don't either, and I stand corrected. I'm sorry that I was wrong with the information. I thought that Sammy went into a Muslim, but that's okay.
Well, you did say Sam Cooke, though, by the way. You didn't say Sammy Davis Jr. You said Sam Cooke.
Oh, I meant Sammy Davis Jr. What,
did I thought,
mess up?
Yeah, you actually did say Sam Cooke. You did
I thought he said both. I thought he said both. They were both in there. But anyway.
Yeah. I messed up.
Freddie, anything else?
No, I just enjoy your show, and chat room's been great, and I've been in the chat room for, a couple of years now, and like your show very much, and I have nothing else to say, derogatory or mostly
or otherwise.
Complimentary.
Well, thank you much, Freddie. We appreciate the call.
Thank you, sir.
Good night, now.
You know, on that note, Freddie said that he, you know, he's ex-military and he gets together with some of the other vets and things like that. You know, the sad, sad fact about it, and he sounds like such a kind, gentle man in his voice.
Should I leave now?
No, hang on a second.
No, go ahead and stay.
Freddie, here's the thing that bothers me.
Is go that ahead.
You are the guy that the United States, you are the guy that is considered the terrorist now on the domestic terrorist. That's who you are now. Here, you've done all you could. Go ahead.
That's what the Illuminati put me as.
That's what the Patriot Act put you as.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't have black SUVs coming over to my house. Not yet.
Stick around this network long enough, you will.
No, I've been here a long time, and I think I'm quite capable of having intel and able to protect my wife and I.
Well, that's a good thing, and that's very important. Thank you for the call, Freddie.
Thank you, sir. Goodbye.
Good night now.
Yeah, that sadly, that does, it's really, you know, he sounds like a very, very nice man, and it bothers me to no end because he is considered a domestic terrorist. He's on the list. Probably on multiple levels because of being Christian and everything else, but that's who, you know, people need to learn what the word domestic means. Domestic means within the United States. That means any U.S. citizen. U.S. citizens are domestics, and so if you're a U.S. citizen, you were already judged to be an enemy of the state in the 1930s. And now, of course, you're a domestic terrorist as well, just by being a United States citizen. Why? Because you're a terrorist to the entity known as the United States. You're also not of the soil. You're not actually part of the United States. You are only an asset to the United States. So, yeah, it's going to get really, really interesting fairly quick.
Property.
Has anybody, by the way, has anybody noticed... I think I heard another call, but let me just get this out real quick, that the new colors for fire departments, for the vests that are worked, by the guys that work in the street departments and everything else, they're the same color, bright yellow, kind of a lime greeny yellow, very bright, very fluorescent, that is used over in Europe and England predominantly by the cops and things. The same color vest, the UN colors is what I'm getting at. Has anybody else noticed this kind of stuff? That all the colors are changing from the oranges or from the yellows, the yield yellows and things like that to this New World Order lime green, you know, fluorescent yellowish kind of look. Anyway, did we get another call?
No, I think we just had Freddie on. I had started to make a comment and then stopped as you were
okay.
Talking.
I
guess my thought about the lime green's another one of those devil's advocate things. It's you know, at least it was sold to us as being easier to see, probably back before things were fashionable. But you know, once again, you look at the progression. And it's only natural to ask the questions. If you have two brain cells that you can rub together and, generate any kind of spark or heat, you can't help but notice all the things that are going on in the country around you and ask why. And knowing what you know, Kurt, knowing what I know, our listeners knowing what they know, we're on guard. We're on watch. And we are, you know, very vigilant and very aware and very, you know, very sensitive. We have, in essence, you know, tuned our attention, the radar frequency of the things we notice. We notice a lot less about what goes on American Idol. I can't name anybody who's ever been on there. Because I don't pay attention to it. You made the comment about not seeing a newspaper for a long time or not picking them up. I actually had something that was shipped to me last week that came with newspaper packing, and some of it actually had you know, headline pages, and it wasn't crumpled up. It was sort of rolled, and so as I unrolled it, I saw things, and I looked at the headlines, and I just, you know, read a sentence or two in, and I went, that, you get to a point where it's so easy to recognize the spin. And you get this from mainstream media all over the place. Some people would argue that the media certainly is complicit, if not, you know, kind of at the source of some of the issues we deal with. But I was reminded of, you know, why I buy a paper occasionally, and that is so that it'll soak up the drippings when I take my fried chicken out of the frying pan and put it on the paper towel under which is newspaper to absorb it. That's about all it's good for. You know, especially here in Arizona.
And cleaning mirrors.
That's right. And windshields. It does a great job. It does a great job of getting the abrasive stuff off the windshields, and you have a clean windshield. So, Windex and newspaper. Try it, folks.
Well, here's. I'm glad you brought that up because I was just thinking about when I was at the bookstore today. Peter, the guy that owns the bookstore, actually, we got into the idea of the Kindle and all the electronic books. Because somebody got after me last week because I said that it's going to be very easy when everybody decides to go to an electronic version of a physical, tangible book, it'll be real easy for them to do a book burning, you know, so to speak, by just clicking a few buttons, and they can get rid of any books they want. And he told me that recently Amazon, I'm just giving information at this point, but somebody didn't have the rights to sell a book, an electronic version of a book, and Amazon went back through and clicked a button, and all the folks that had bought this book, everybody that had paid for it, it disappeared off of their electronic devices. Imagine if we bought in to their idea of what books should be in the future. And when they decided to change a paragraph, change the information, or just delete the entire book, all they got to do is press a button and they're all gone. That's my idea of a future book burning. And that's kind of where that conversation went today. And I thought, see, that's the thing, is people don't realize that technology also, there's a big, big give and take with technology. But I like the tangible books. I will always want printed material in front of me. But there's one other thing about that conversation. As he said that those electronic books can receive electronic emails, and so he said that those things will probably save the newspaper industry because they package them up and send them out to people that have these Kindles and what have you. And what's interesting about that is he said it's too expensive nowadays because the readership, not so much, maybe not the readership, but the subscriptions of the newspapers it's tanking, you know. And I was a paper boy, and so was he, and you know, there aren't any paper boys in my neighborhood anymore. They have the adults driving around for every 20th or 30th house, as opposed to a paper boy delivering to every one. And I started thinking about that, and I said, you know what, they can't do away with the paper, the pulp newspapers, because when the masses are completely unemployed, we're going to need a lot of newspapers for the guys that stop at the intersections and clean your windows. So, you know, it all kinds of works hand in hand. You know, people stop reading, but we're still going to need newspapers for the guys that are earning their daily bread, so to speak, by cleaning the few out there with jobs, their windshields as they're driving past. So, yeah, we're still going to need newspapers. Uh-huh. For cat boxes, too. We're going to need them to...
Bird cages. Bird cages.
Bird
and
cages.
That kind of stuff.
Well, you know, bird cages are always good. But,
you know, I'll tell you, again... Kurt, here's something that you touched on, and it actually jogs something that I have some folks that are high up in the electronic publishing business, and one of the things that they have talked about, and I haven't seen it covered covered in the news or even in the alternative news. You'll recall not too long ago that the Department of Justice actually shut down some websites based on an allegation of copyright infringement. And one of the things that really came up, over that situation was the government's already got the power to reach into your computers and do all kinds of things. Anything later than Windows XP, Vista, Windows 7 have NSA backdoors in them, the likes of which you cannot imagine, but they can drive a truck through. And if they want to see what's on your computer, they can. But here's the frightening thing about that. When the government decided to make these websites unavailable, one of the other things is that they are actually piloting the technology to go out and take information selectively off the Internet, not confined necessarily to websites and website addresses, but actually able to reach into your system and remove such content. So something to think about. And it's a pilot. It's not there yet. But these guys are part of a multi-million-dollar research and development deal that are looking into those technologies. And I'm not, I'm on the air. I'm not going to go into the details because it would bore people to death. But just realize that the reach into the Internet world is far deeper than you realize. And on that note, we got to get out before the final break. You're listening to I Am the People with Kurt Kallenbach on the Liberty and Freedom Radio Network. We'll be back for the final segment after this.
SurvivalCenter.com. With over 35 years of knowledge and experience, the Survival Center is America's premier preparedness center.
Make up.
Kurt, your 10 seconds are up. Oh, where did he go? We were talking off air. He said he needed about 10 seconds to go take care of something. Let me turn up his mic and see if he's there now. Kurt, are you with us?
I am.
There you go.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're fine.
Anyway, yeah, I had to run out of the room for a second. Anyway, I get a, over the break, it's funny because I just checked my email, and I got an email from a guy that he seems to connect up with a lot of decent information. His name is Bob, but he just sent an email out, and it's probably to his entire list because it's a BCC. But it says that, and this is not from too long ago, but it says, there you have it, folks. Only those with standing can challenge Obama's second run for the presidency. Isn't that amazing? Only those with standing can challenge Obama's second run. What's interesting is there's no U.S. citizen with standing, so not a single U.S. citizen can challenge whether or not Obama is a legitimate candidate or even a legitimate president. Well, that's, I mean, that, doesn't that bother anybody out there? I mean, really, doesn't it, it, see, I know why that's the case, but it just bothers me so much that the Patriots are out there fighting for something they don't even understand.
Wow.
They don't even, I mean, you got the Bob Schultzes of the world out there, you know, getting a boot across his face every time he shows up with his First Amendment issues, and they always tell him the same thing: you lack standing, Bob.
Sit down and shut up.
Yeah, sit down and shut up. So there's not a single United States citizen that's going to be able to challenge a usurper's office. The holding of an office of presidency. I find that intolerable. But apparently there's a lot of folks out there that actually think this is they're going to run down that path. They're going to chase that ghost for another 6 months. He'll get through two terms. Obama will get through two terms. Possibly three or four, but he'll get through two terms and he'll never have been qualified for a constitutional government. It's amazing to me, what these guys get away with nowadays. And it's all because the private court system, Listen, until people realize that 1863, the Supreme Court disappeared. The entire Article III judiciary system disappeared under this new government, this new Lieber Code government. I can't get it through anybody's head, apparently, that there is no court system and all this other garbage is just, it's just window dressing. There is no American government anymore. This is a private Bank of England, Crown Temple, Vatican organization running this situation. It's private. And until people understand that they don't have any say, let me say that a different way. They don't have any standing in this government. Why? Because it's not for you. It isn't for any U.S. citizen. In fact, citizenship is what? Yeah. It is a hindrance. It is an anchor. It's a legal disability to, in their private court system, and therefore they could put anybody they want. You know what? Arnold Schwarzenegger, when he's president of the United States, I want to look at the faces of the United States citizen patriots that think that they live in some republic or that they have some access to this system. I really would like to see the faces of those that are out there fighting for the left or the right or the Ron Pauls or any of this other garbage. I would love to see their faces when President Schwarzenegger walks across the stage as the new president of the United States. It will not shock me, but you know what? All it does is it's one more nail. I mean, how many nails does this coffin need is my question. By the way, I almost forgot this, but I was talking about a book that was taken off. Amazon actually pulled every one of these copies off of the Kindles and all the other electronic books and things out there after Amazon sold it. Amazon pulled it all off. Guess what the book was? Ralph, you there?
Go ahead.
The book was 1984. Isn't that ironic?
Talk about Kafka-esque. My.
But here's the best part is my wife and I were talking to Peter up there at the bookstore, and see, he didn't even know this, that, see, the problem is that Orwell was a Fabian, and his estate is tied up until like 2026 with the Fabian Society. They actually own all the rights to all his stuff, so his information is safe. If they don't want it out there, it's not going to be out there. And nobody has the rights to it but the Fabians themselves. So
but aren't they the group that means, you know, from each according to his abilities to each according to their needs? We need this book. How can they possibly take it away? Easy. Because their needs are more important than our needs.
Can you guess what book I thought it was? I mean, it would have been even more ironic, but I mean, my first guess was Fahrenheit 451. That was, you know, it was the Ray Bradbury. That's the book I thought it was because, you know, that's about the fire department that actually goes and burns books. And he said no. And my second guess would have been 1984. But it was interesting that is the book that they made disappear off of everybody's electronic gadgets.
All I can say is it would be absolutely great if there were a backlash.
Well, they gave him a $20 gift certificate, apparently. Yeah, but you know, I guess the scary thing is
trade your freedoms for a gift certificate. What a deal! I'm sorry, now I'm getting cynical.
They could do that, though, Ralph, with any book that you purchase.
Oh, I know.
Electronically.
I told you that.
That's what my argument was.
interesting that they have access to the inner inner indexes of your Kindles as much as they do with your iPhones and your Androids and your computers and all the rest of that. Why am I not surprised?
Well, it's all, again, it's like piling on everything that I'm looking at now, every single thing. I'm still struggling, and maybe you can help me with this. I'm still struggling with, I mean, how many times do you have to get hit on the head before you're willing to look in a different direction? If the Patriot Act even exists, there's a problem. If the health care bill even exists, there's a problem. Why is it that people are not looking for the reasons they exist or the way that makes it possible for them to exist instead of just saying that they can't do that? They can't do that. That's not constitutional. Absolutely, it's not constitutional. How do they get it done if it's not constitutional? How can they enforce it with the police if it's not constitutional? Maybe you should start looking in a different direction because the answers are not where you're looking. You see, if something's not constitutional, how do they enforce it? How do they get an entire army of policemen across America to enforce something that's not constitutional? What if they're not constitutional? What if they have nothing to do with the Constitution, is my question. What if none of the situation is constitutional? What if it doesn't have to be constitutional to be put in play? Okay, now I know somebody called in.
Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, Ralph and Kurt. It's Woody from California.
Hi there, Woody. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello. You know, I had to shake my head last half hour when Freddie called in. You know, when I hear people like that saying that they serve their country, I shake my head and I go, what the heck are they thinking? Serve their country. You know, my rights and liberties are only affected by the people in Washington. Those are the people that are trying to take it away. And here, they're serving their country. They've become a cog in the murder machine, and they're calling it serving their country. It just sounds insane to me.
You know, they're serving the United States. But you need to make
the
distinction. Yeah,
United States.
Yeah, you need to make the distinction, the United States, and flesh out what it actually is. See, this is, you know, this kind of comes to this thing that I keep hitting on is that if you want people to think a different way, you change the language. Remember when United States used to be a good thing? Kind of like remember when gay was a happy time? You know, the gay 90s? I mean, and this isn't to take anything away from gays. The point is that the language has been co-opted and shifted. Political correctness, sanitation engineers, let me count the ways, multiculturalism, all those things so that, you know, it's not all as it seems. Welcome to Alice in Wonderland's rabbit hole.
Woody, I know what you're talking about, man. I mean, Freddie is probably a very, like I said, a very nice man. The problem is that unless you dig deep enough, unless you see it for yourself like you have, unless you actually research it for yourself like you have, unless, you know, you go beyond what somebody tells you and you see it for yourself and experience it for yourself, it doesn't get inside you. You know, I mean, I know that most of the patriots out there just can't grasp the idea that the United States defeated America in the Civil War. Well, how can that be, Kurt? I mean, the United States defeated America. Aren't they the same thing? Not even close. People don't realize that the United States ultimately, the first United States that was established was a private foreign concern. Always, and it always has been. Only a couple of times in history did the masses, did the American people break away from that particular contract or situation. One was in 1776 up until 1783, and another time was when the southern states bolted in 1861. Those are the only two times the American people were ever free from the Bank of England. Only twice in history. And both times the Bank of England recovered and stole it back. But, you know, how many people do you know, and you're out there fighting the same battle of information, how many people do you know believe, you know, what you say?
Not a lot. And I think part of the problem is they're watching the greatest propaganda tool, you know, that was ever invented, the television. You know, you've heard the term mainstream media or mainstream propaganda media. There's a new term out now, I think it's more appropriate, called the DHM, the dumbhead media, you know, because people can't see that and see that it's all tainted and all spun and all lies and programming. I mean, come on.
It's horrifying. In fact, I mean, my favorite term, and I heard this a while back, and it's the Colosseum in a box, and it really is. Keep people busy.
Yeah.
You know, the bread and circus is garbage.
That's a great term.
Yeah, my wife and I haven't had television for a couple of years now, but it was the best thing we ever did. In fact, it almost feels like there was an exorcism performed in our house.
You know.
I mean, yeah, I took out the satellite in 04.
Yeah, the evil isn't here anymore. We don't even allow it in. But, you know, we have televisions just to watch, you know, movies and, you know, DVDs and things like that. But, man, you're right. If the television, in fact, if there is an uprising in America, the first place they should go is they should shut down the media stations.
Yeah, thank God for the internet, gosh.
Yeah.
I had one more point that I wanted to make, and that is, you know, you talk about being kind of hopeless about what's going to happen. It's becoming a police state. I'm kind of thinking that maybe one of the answers we're going to have, or one of the saving events that we may have, is the total crash of the dollar. You know, if we can all exit the matrix, is what I call it, exit anything that has to do with U.S. citizen or the dollar, and quit feeding this machine because it's killing us. You know, get your land patents. Stop paying property taxes. Quit filing income taxes. Do all that and just say, I'm out of here, you know. And if they show up at the door, you know, that's where the fight begins.
Well, when I say that I think we might be running out of time, that's exactly what I mean. I mean, I feel like I came to this thing really, really late, you know, in the game, and it feels like, you know, they're two or three moves, maybe two moves away from checkmate, because again, nobody cares. They don't care enough to open up their mind to start thinking that maybe there's a different way to do it. You know, for the last 130-140 years, the same idiots are taking place in office. Not even that. I mean, they took the senators out of the states in 1913. They changed everything since the Civil War completely, and nobody sees this? Does nobody actually get this stuff? I mean, really, at what point do people wake up and go, wait a minute here, you know what, this isn't the Republican form of government the Founding Fathers created. Where did it go? I mean, at what point did it change? When did we lose control of our own future, our own destiny in America? Well, here it is. Here's the answers. No, they don't. They keep doing the same damn thing over and over and over, doing what? Expecting different results. Well,
it's amazing.
You know what?
It's not going to change
anything.
Like the old mule, you know, they say first you got to get his attention. Well, I'm about ready to start hitting these people in the head with a ball bat, you know. Come on, wake up. And one of the things I'd like to suggest about the fall of the dollar is take all your spare money and start converting it into 1 ounce silvers and gold if you can afford it. But just start buying up all the silver, because you saw last Monday, a week ago Monday, it was a blatant, obvious manipulation by the powers that be to take the price of silver down. And it didn't really hurt the silver market. It was still selling for, you know, $45 an ounce on eBay. And there's still a shortage of silver. So they're trying to make it look as if the price is down and the demand is down and like they popped a bubble, but it's all hype. So everybody out there, start buying as much silver and gold as you possibly can. Because when the dollar crashes, you're going to be an instant pauper if you don't have any gold or silver, because fiat money has never survived, and every time it has crashed, it's always been replaced by gold and silver.
You know, Woody,
doesn't it bother you, though? Woody, you just said something that everything is manipulated. 100% of our lives is manipulated. 100%. There is no supply and demand. There is no market forces that actually work as they're supposed to. They can do anything they want. They can create any idea that they want. I mean, they can make the market do this by just plugging a couple of numbers in or hitting a couple of keystrokes. And then everybody the response they want out of the masses occurs. It's amazing to me how simple this stuff is. And you know what? It's probably been going on, some of the readings I've had, it's been going on since the 1940s or 50s.
Okay. Yeah, at least 30 years. I'm thinking that Wall Street is totally controlled by a computer program.
Well, yeah, it's not quite a computer program, but let's just say it's controlled by an agenda. Woody, you're absolutely right about the situation with the dollar, and what really was rather interesting was they were on track, and they wanted to collapse the dollar, indeed to bring this U.S. economy to its knees in order to, as Bob Chapman says, to force us to accept world government. But I've always had this conversation with Bob wherein I say that what happened when Barack Obama came on the scene, remember that under Bush we had TARP, which was $780 billion. Barack Obama came in with the stimulus package of, what was it, 800 and some odd billion dollars. Then we've gone to $1.5 trillion deficits across the board, spending this, spending that. Revenue dropping, unemployment up, the numbers being fudged and all the rest. But here's the issue. This country never had a problem financing its deficit spending because we had AAA rated the most secure treasury bonds in the world. Well, what was interesting was that the globalists are out there trying to get everybody to, invest in the treasuries in this one world and this globalist kind of thing. And then what happened was that when Obama comes in and the government starts all of this spending and the deficits go skywide all around the world, people who would have previously invested in our U.S. Treasury offerings that would come out every couple of weeks suddenly started to ask, wow, is this such a great investment? This is a little bit like, I send a kid off to college and he runs up the credit card and I pay it off and tell him not to do it again. He runs it up again. You know what? I can't afford this. Not only that, I'm not sure I'm going to get my money back. And what was interesting was the countries all around the world started to reduce their purchase of U.S. treasuries. What happened? Nationalism triumphed over globalism. So people, countries, sovereign nations started to become more concerned about their own survival than the survival of the one world globalist situation. Now here's the issue. The Federal Reserve is now basically purchasing over 85% of those treasuries. Well, guess what, sports fans? The dollar collapse is no longer under their control. What's happening is that the Fed, having to purchase all this stuff, is now carrying all of this. The Federal Reserve, of course, as you know, is not federal, no more federal than Federal Express. It is a private corporation, and the entire edifice will come down on its head if we keep going through this process. Now, when it happens, oh yes, you will throw this country into economic turmoil, no question. But so too, it will not be possible for them to implement the police state because the entire organizational structure will have nothing that funds it because this collapse is out of control. The dollar collapse has accelerated beyond their plan. They can't control it anymore, and this is why you're seeing these knee-jerk reactions in the Middle East. It's why you're seeing the desperate political ploy of, Osama bin dead 10 years, Laden out there going through this entire process. It's a crazy world, but it's what happens when the globalists are thrown into desperate measures because of the almighty laws of financial physics are going to take that dollar down and collapse it before they have their systems in place for control. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so optimistic. Oh, yes, we're going to go through one heck of a difficult time in this country, but they won't get the second phase of their police state in place, and the one-world government situation will collapse on its head because their timing was off. When the dollar basically was hit with all that spending, their order gave way to chaos. They can't control chaos. They keep thinking that they can. They can't, and the result is going to be out of their control.
Yeah, and the whole rest of the world is waking up to the dollar. They finally caught on that it's only paper with numbers on it.
That's
and it's
right.
Not backed by anything. And so anyway, buy as much silver as you can, guys, because you want to have something when that happens.
Hey, by the way, what did silver close at today?
I think it was
it's 39 now, I'm told. 39.04.
Oh, is that okay?
Yeah.
Hey, Ralph, is Bob on your show once a week?
Yes, he is. He'll be on with me on Sovereign Economist tomorrow at 6 p.m. Central.
Okay, that's good. I want everybody to know that because he's a sharp dude. I think he's down in Central America somewhere, but he knows what's going on after working in the market for like 26 years. And I listen to him on RBN, but I like to listen to the archive, you know, so you can pause it when you got to walk out. So I hope you put them on the archives pretty rapidly.
Yeah, all the shows get on there, and Woody, your point's taken. The one thing I would say is that Bob has been uninvited from the United States, which is why he's out of the country. He's been told almost in his few words, you come back in, we'll either arrest you or you will disappear. So.
Now, that's amazing. I thought this was a free country, though. Ralph, this is a free America, is it not?
What mope have you been listening to?
Hey, Woody, we're running out of time, man. Thank you. And, again, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Ralph, I think that we got just a few seconds left here.
Thanks, Woody. Take care.
I want to just close with this because, and then I'll just shut the heck up. You know, I don't know what's going to happen at all. I'm not even, sadly, the tough part is, like Woody, I mean, he's been around this stuff for a while, but we don't have any control over any of this. None. There's going to be some natural occurrences that, like Ralph just said about, the people that try to control it, they really ultimately can't control it once the masses start to think a little bit and start to move more in a natural way. The sad part for me is this, and then I'm done talking tonight, is that the rest of the world has known or knows enough. They know more about America. They know more about the United States being a private company. The rest of the world knows what's going on, where the American people continue to or refuse to wake up to what's going on. So whatever happens here on American soil, whatever the American people through their ignorance or their silence or their disbelief, whatever happens to the masses here, if the rest of the world attacks America, it's going to be because of the American people, because they don't want to recognize nor take responsibility for what the United States is doing on a global level. And for that, you know what, I don't have any feelings for what's going to happen here if something ugly does happen, because the American people don't even want to know the truth. They want to run and hide, they want to take their benefits, and they want to pretend that they have the ability to change politics here in America, and they don't. Politics are private, folks. On that note, I'm done speaking. Ralph, have you got anything to say?
No, I think that's it. The only thing I would add to that is the comment that Bob Chapman makes, that around the rest of the world, America is the laughing stock. And the reason is that for the blindness and the unawareness of our people.
Yep. Good night, everybody.
Good night, folks. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Central on Sovereign Economist with Bob Chapman. Thanks for listening, folks. Take care. Have a good night. We'll see you next week.